Glass Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. Jim Williams in studio. Proper social distancing with Ray Mondragon.
I like it a lot better.
when we can see each other face to face, it's so much easier, isn't it?
Yeah.
And all of our guests have been really good sports. You've been a good sport for a good couple of sessions. And talking on the phone, though, is difficult, isn't it?
Well, it's not so difficult. It's just the audio wasn't as good, and I couldn't hear you as well. So this is a lot better.
Yeah. Well, I like the body language and everything else, because you can kind of tell, you know, if you're puzzled by one of my questions, I can tell by the way your face looks, so I can rephrase things. But if I ask you on the phone, you've got to give me that, Jim, well, did you mean this?
We didn't have too many of those.
No, we don't have too many of those. Ray Mondragon is a retired engineer. He's part of Creation Science Fellowship, where we originally got acquainted. He's also a teacher with Chafer Theological Seminary. He has a website, if you're interested in the things that Ray has to share with us today. We talk about creation science versus what I will call secular science, or evolution is kind of the buzzword that a lot of people have used for a long time. Still baffles me how anyone has ever considered evolution to be something at the level of science, because Ray, in our shows in the last year, you've clearly shown us that evolutionary theory doesn't even rise to the level of a theory, much less science.
Well, the reason for that is young people don't hear anything else. Mm. They're raised in it, and you go through the whole curriculum all the way through graduate school, and all you hear is evolution, so you have nothing else to compare it with. And what we're doing is very, very unique, even within the church, which is unfortunate.
You know, I remember the poster on the wall when I was in sixth grade at what was then Chelwood Elementary School. I had a great teacher, Mr. Rayburn. He was awesome, and I just really appreciated him. But we had this poster on the wall that was the apes. You know, starting off as a bent looked like a chimpanzee, and then kind of virtually, you know, stood up until you get to the Cro-Magnons and all the other caveman things. And then all of a sudden, there's this missing link. And there was actually like a question mark in place of a person. And then there was a guy standing there that was a normal looking human being. And of course, the missing link, I've always been impressed, is nobody's ever going to find that.
That's right.
Because it doesn't exist.
Right.
What's the word I'm looking for? Where one species turns into another.
Transitional.
Transition. Link. There's no transition of one species to another.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a powerful image that has remained with you all these years, and that image sticks. And unless you have some counter theory or idea, and you're not going to get it in the public schools, people just grow up with it, so they don't question it. And all they hear, science has established this. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Even within the sciences, for example, any given science, you'll find that those scientists are, if they're a geologist, they're depending on the biologist. If they're a biologist, they're depending on the geologist or physics or some other branch, and they think, well, it's established, and what else is there?
Right. And, of course, there's a lot of physics and a lot of other science involved when it comes to carbon dating and all of these other so-called sciences that have come out of all this research. And it seems like people are well-intended.
I think so. And I think most people are just ignorant, and particularly those within the body of Christ that just don't hear another alternative. And scholars, biblical scholars, are not trained in the sciences, so they just take what they've heard and feel like they can't question it because they don't have any credentials to do otherwise.
I appreciate you helping us think through these questions, because I think there's a lot of people. You know, I'm 60-plus years old. And I've had these questions my entire life. And it's so fun to be able to say, gee whiz, you know, for evolution to really work, you've got to have mutations. And mutations have to work in an orderly fashion. And you postulate the question, when does a mutation ever do anything in an orderly fashion, like grow two legs at one time?
Right.
Well, that doesn't happen in mutations. And there's six or seven other things about mutations that show that there's no science to that. That can't happen. And those are long time ago shows. You can actually go to our website with all of our podcasts. It's called abqconnect.online. And when you go there, you could put in Ray, up in the little, you know, click on the little magnifying glass up in the right-hand corner, the search button, type in Ray, and you'll see all of Ray's shows, all of the shows that we've done with Ray right there.
Am I the only Ray in Albuquerque?
Well, yeah, I think you're the only Ray that I've talked to on the show. They could put in Mondragon if they want.
Right.
But it's easy to find all of your shows, and I think it's a really neat review. One of the things, Ray, that I really like about your website is that you have a bibliography that's amazing. Everything you do, you can go right to a reference. And one of the things we've talked about off air before we started the show today is we want to start posting a few of those items to the podcast site, because at least people making an initial inquiry can find that information very easily. I also want to mention, in addition to the For His Glory NM.com, which is Ray's website, also want to mention Creation Science Fellowship website, which is CSF, so for Creation Science Fellowship, NM for New Mexico, .org. Lots of resources there as well. Mm-hmm. So I want people to be able to have these resources, be able to know that they haven't left their brain at home when they decided to become a Christian, and there's absolutely all kinds of things to support the scientific value of the Bible and the Word, and the Word, conversely, supports science.
Right. I'm glad you reminded us of the that bibliography. Let me point out a couple of things that would be helpful that might motivate people as well. What I've included is about 100 books, give or take, might be even more. I haven't counted them lately. And they're primarily young earth creation science texts written by scientists mainly, or engineers or people from technical fields. And what I've included with each of them is a little commentary, you might say. In other words, a gist of the book and highlights and high points and maybe even weaknesses if that's the case. And all of those are listed in a PDF document that you can download, and you have all those resources that you can look up on your own.
Yeah, and I think that is just amazing tools for us to see, and especially during the stay-at-home order. I mean, I really loved watching The Last Dance. I watched all 10 episodes, and then I watched it a second time, and I learned all kinds of things about Michael Jordan and the Bulls, and I've then carried that on to watching some of the other documentaries about other subjects, and that's been really fascinating. But I love spending time going in and looking at the Creation Science Fellowship references, going to your bibliography and looking up things. And there's so many things now available online, and this will direct you. These are all very high-quality, trustworthy sources for information. So let's review now, Ray. We started our shows about a year ago talking about evolution versus creation science, and we showed the supportive things for creation science. We showed the things that did not support evolution, talked about those very clearly. But the last three or four times we've met, we've been talking about the flood, and we've been talking about how historical geology basically makes a claim on the secular side of things that there was not a worldwide flood, as we read in Genesis about what some of us call Noah's flood.
Right.
And we've been talking about that now, and we're going to continue that today, but we're going to kind of do it a little bit differently. We're going to try to make point-counterpoint type statements to shorten up these thoughts so that people might be able to listen to a certain segment, internalize that, know how to reference it, et cetera. So get us started, Ray.
Well, as you mentioned, the secularist has a viewpoint that leaves God out, because obviously not only is there a bias towards that, but that's kind of the unbelieving thought. His idea is basically he sees no scientific evidence or no evidence in the geological record that historical geologists use to reconstruct Earth history. So their point is there's no evidence for it. Therefore, it's mythological. It didn't occur. It's just a story. It's just religion, whatever you want to attach to it. But when it comes down to science, science doesn't support it. So that's their viewpoint. In fact, Henry Morris, who's a creationist, in his book, he says that historical geology is one of the most difficult areas, or the early areas that caused so many problems for creationists. And that's why they wrote the Genesis Flood, which is a classic, written in the 50s, I believe, published in the 60s. So we want to answer that question. If there's no evidence of it, then is there something wrong with the Bible, or something wrong with our view? Do we have a proper interpretation? You know, how do we sort all this out? One of the things that we tried to stress, particularly the time before last that we met, I think it was, would have been March maybe, mm-hmm. we talked about, well, let's take a look at the scriptures. What do the scriptures seem to indicate? And if the scriptures indicate that there was a worldwide flood, then we've got another problem. How do we reconcile that with science? Mm-hmm. So last time that we met, we began a discussion to try to bring together, is there an alternative viewpoint that is different from what the secularist presents? And if so, is this worthy of pursuing? And today we want to pursue that a little bit further.
Well, when you start talking about whether it's worth pursuing, I want to get back to this counterpoint. Mm-hmm. So a secular geologist, or what you call a historical geologist, might say there's no scientific evidence. And that would be in the layers or the strata,
right?
The earth layers.
Right.
But another scientist that is a creation scientist will look at that exact same layer and say there's all kinds of evidence.
Yes.
I need you to explain that to us a little bit.
Well, it's a difference, not that we're looking at different data. We're looking at the same data. In fact, you describe a historical geologist. There's a secular historical geologist, but we would consider ourselves as historical geologists as well. The difference is when we look at the data, we can see that that same data can be interpreted from a better perspective. And the data actually supports the idea of a worldwide flood. So that's the difference. The difference is between how do you interpret those layers? The secularist comes from the perspective of they were laid down over millions and millions of years. In fact, each layer, for example, the Jurassic, I think 40 million years it took to lay down that layer, according to the secular historical geologist. But if there was a Genesis flood, or even a smaller flood, that whole layer, instead of being laid down in millions of years, could have been laid down very rapidly in a shorter period of time. Mm-hmm. And that's the basic difference. In fact, we interpret virtually all the sedimentary rock layers from a particular location in the geological column, from that point all the way to the surface, as laid down by the Genesis flood. So that's the basic difference.
Well, I'm fascinated with the differences, but I'm also concerned about the biases on both sides. I understand that somebody that doesn't believe in God is going to say, okay, I'm going to look at science, but I'm going to eliminate this possibility of God existing at all. I'm not sure that you can do that. It seems like as a human being, you could come and say, okay, well, I don't really believe in God, but other people do. So why can't I look at what's actually there? Why can't I look at the actual design of this earth, cell structure, DNA, all of the things that we talked about in our evolution versus creation science discussion? And obviously, all of that speaks of a designer.
Right.
And so the bias starting out blinds them to
yes.
evaluating the data correctly.
Right.
What biases could we have that might do that same thing to us?
Well, everybody has a bias. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of whether your bias fits in with what is real, what is reality. And we believe that a bias towards God, obviously, and what God has revealed, that reflects reality better than the secular worldview. So we're living in the same world, but it's a matter of how do you interpret the things around us. We call that a worldview. Mm-hmm. And that brings about all kinds of lifestyles and the way that we live. For example, if you don't believe there's a God, then you're accountable to yourself. So that gives you lots of freedom to do things that the Bible prohibits, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a bias towards God and you believe that he has revealed himself and there are standards and there are things that he has set forth that are good and some things that are detrimental,
mm-hmm.
in fact, we would say even evil, then that bias steers your actions and your lifestyle such that you want to avoid those things that are evil or even bad.
Yes. Ray Mondragon in studio with us. Ray is part of Creation Science Fellowship. He's also a Bible teacher with Chafer Theological Seminary. He has a website called For, that's F-O-R, His, H-I-S, Glory, G-L-O-R-Y, N-M for New Mexico.com. Great resource. And then you'll also want to go to the Creation Science Fellowship New Mexico.org website. That's CSFNM.org. We'll be back with more from Ray right after these messages.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten Son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel. And never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president and owner of Indigo Mortgage, and proud to be a locally owned and operated mortgage company right here in New Mexico. Being local carries many positives for consumers, such as being able to meet face-to-face. You will receive quick response times, and all loans are processed here locally. And you will always talk with the same people from application to funding. All of our employees live here, and all profits from loan origination stay right here in New Mexico. Indigo Mortgage believes in supporting our local economy, and if at all possible, we use local vendors, supplies, and technical support. I personally hire and vet all loan officers, and I assure you that your loans will be dealt with both ethically and with knowledge. Indigo Mortgage can offer the best rates and terms available on the market, so contact us today on the net at indigomortgage.net or by calling 836-5700. That's 836-5700. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. NMLS 188-348.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. Hope everybody had a great weekend. I want to remind everybody that the stay-at-home orders, obviously, are being lifted, kind of a slow process, and it seems steady. I want to remind you that Calvary Church is getting ready to say welcome home as they prepare for in-person services at all their campuses starting May 30th and 31st. All services will be contactless and adhere to all social distancing policies as mandated by the governor. Details at calvarynm.church/together again. So, Ray, there's all kinds of things that we're planning, but as I read that liner, it's, you know, Calvary Church and all the other churches in town, as the governor has released some of the restrictions, we're all in this fluid motion of trying to plan things. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that during this time of year, you're normally not here in the United States. You're away teaching. Tell us a little bit about what you do out of the country.
Well, normally in May, I spend all of May in Ukraine. There are two seminaries there, and I spend 2 weeks at one, teaching every day, about 5 hours in some cases, and yeah, sometimes more, to get a whole course in, whole seminary course, graduate level seminary course. So I do that two times, two different sites usually. And usually I'm in Ukraine. So,
well, and you mentioned that before we started the program that you were on Zoom teaching a course in Kiev.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Well, one of them, yeah, we accommodated the schedule by doing it instead of me being there, we did it over Zoom. Exactly. So I did the whole course, but I did it from my own home.
I know that the loss of life has just been unbelievable, and my heart goes out to everyone who has lost loved ones, and it's tragic. But in the midst of the sadness and in the midst of the challenges, it's good to see some positive things. One, if there is a positive thing, it has been that we've been able to maintain contact with one another through technology. Mm-hmm. Preachers have been able to preach, teach. There's been all kinds of resources. Radio, I think, has been a benefit to a lot of people because you can listen and you can even interact by giving us a call. By the way, if you do want to call us, you can call us this afternoon at 505-338-5790. And give Ray a call if you'd like to leave a message about any question that you have. In fact, a lot of the things that we're talking about today, I share with Ray that listeners have questions about. And then I kind of parrot those questions back to him. So, Ray, let's get started on talking a little bit about the biblical evidence for the worldwide flood and how science supports that.
Well, I need to kind of lay the groundwork that we spent the whole session on last time. So very briefly, let me sketch the biblical model that is probably the most prevalent amongst young Earth creationists.
Okay.
John Baumgartner, by the way, he was here in New Mexico for most of his career, Los Alamos National Labs. While he was working there, he came up with a flood model. In fact, it usually goes by his name, Baumgartner's flood model. And by the way, you can look it up on the web, and I'll give some resources as well that you can look up. But he looked at the data. In other words, what's out there, the geology, as well as things like the Mid-Atlantic Ridge that has only recently been discovered since World War II, and then a lot of work has been done since then. And he begins to think, well, maybe this is connected with something that may have happened in the ancient past, biblical time frame. And he came up with a model that basically sketches the idea that the geological column down to the Precambrian layer, all of the rocks from that layer to the surface is all different from Precambrian rocks and below. What's below is basically basement, what geologists would call basement rock. It'd be igneous rock. But everything above, Cambrian and above, is sedimentary rock. Sedimentary rock is laid down either by wind and or by water. And the evidence points to water. So his flood model looks at the geological record down to the Precambrian, all of the layers from that level up would have been laid down as a result of the Genesis flood and the aftermaths. And as the waters receded, the waters would have carved out what we see on the surface today. For example, Bryce Canyon and all the formations that you can see there, the Grand Canyon, something closer to home here. But that would also explain a lot of phenomenon all over the world. So his flood model looks at that same geological column, but we interpret it in terms of the Genesis flood, and he takes the data from the Genesis record and sees it as descriptive. In other words, this is real science statements that describes what God actually did, and this flood model fits the description far better, obviously, than the secularist. And it fits the data far better as well. And that's one of the things that we want to talk about today is what about that scientific evidence? Does it, in fact, support what we find in Genesis 6 through 9?
And you're going to tell us that it does.
I'm going to tell you that it does. Far better. Exactly.
Well, let's do that.
Okay, well, there are several lines of argument that we can use. In fact, let me give you a brief overview. We won't cover it all today. In fact, we could spend many weeks on it. What I want to do is just give you the gist of it, and then we can direct people to different websites as well to see more detail. Mm-hmm. But essentially, the whole area of paleontology, that's the area that deals with fossils. And that whole area, there are different areas that we want to cover, and we'll just touch on that today, but the area of paleontology, that gives evidence that something catastrophic had to have taken place. Mm-hmm. And once we go through that, we also want to look at the layers themselves, in other words, sedimentation, and evaluate what you find in those layers. And there's lots of data within the layers themselves, and even the layering and the sequences tell us lots of information that better supports a Genesis flood than the secular viewpoint. Mm-hmm. So we want to look at sedimentation. There's also, interestingly, some historical events that have taken place in our lifetime that add to this database, because the results of a couple of those events, and I'd like to discuss one of them in a little bit of detail.
Okay.
In fact, we'll spend one session on it, probably, hopefully, if you'll invite me back.
Well, Ray, let's do this. Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And I'm going to get you started on these things that are scientifically evident and support creation science and
the Genesis flood.
The Genesis flood. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budgay. Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local. Follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
This week on A Daily Walk.
We always have a choice whether or not we're going to follow God's plan and God's order for our life. We can receive it and respond to it, or we can rebel and reject it. We can read God's word and hear what it says and walk in obedience to it, or we can reject it and be disobedient to it.
Join us as we journey through 1 Corinthians with John Randall here on A Daily Walk.
Weekdays at 5:30 a.m. on KNKT. On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. Again, a reminder that a lot of churches around town are getting back to action, and Calvary Church is announcing that they have a welcome home celebration. They want to invite everybody back to church on May 30th and 31st. All services will be contactless and adhere to all social distancing policies as mandated by the governor. You can get details at calvarynm.church. A little later in the week, we're going to talk to the Legacy folks and find out what they're planning as well. And if your church is planning a certain thing, make sure you get in touch with us. You can call us here at 338-5790 or email me. My email here at the station is jim@abqconnect.online. Let us know what's going on and we'll make sure that we get that out to the public. Want to remind everybody that Ray Mondragon has a resource called ForHisGloryNM.com. All of the things that Ray talks about, he has an extensive bibliography. So you can go in and actually check out what he's saying. We're not just here asking, you know, Ray to give us your opinion, Ray, and we're not going to check it out. No, Ray is happy for you to check out everything that he's talking to you about, and so is Creation Science Fellowship. And if you are a secular person, if you're a person that doesn't acknowledge the existence of God, we welcome you to scrutinize all this stuff too, because we like to have the discussion. And let me tell you, there's plenty of stories about people that have said, hey, there is no God, but I'm going to start looking at things from the scientific perspective that you're telling me's true. And guess what's happened in many cases?
Sometimes they see the light.
They've come to faith. They've seen that, yeah, this is evidence that God exists.
In fact, within everyone, I think there's this nagging emptiness, this, some people call it a God-shaped vacuum, that I think people sense that there has to be a better explanation, particularly those that are in the sciences. I think they sense that there's something not quite right with evolution and all that follows from it. And I think Creation Science Fellowship is a good place to ask questions and get some of these answers.
Yes.
So that you have more information. You mentioned the person that may not be a believer, and they're welcome at CSF. But particularly church people, most church people have not heard the things that we're talking about. And we're trying to get the word out, particularly to them, to strengthen their faith, to trust the Bible, because everywhere the Bible speaks, whether it's science or history or whatever, we believe that it's an inspired record from God himself. And if it's from him, then we also believe that it is inerrant. We believe in an inerrant Bible.
I always find it funny when I talk to people that are skeptical about the Bible. They say, oh, the Bible's an old book and it's outdated. So then we start reading about adultery and marriage stresses and integrity in government. And I mean, you just go through the list. It's all exactly what we're dealing with now.
Exactly.
And the Bible addresses all of those things.
Yep. In fact, it addresses every area. I teach a whole course on biblical foundations for all things, drawing from that biblical record all of these areas, whether it be economics, whether it be language. We have the origin of language in the Bible that the secularist does not really have a good answer for. Mm-hmm. So whatever area that you are concerned about, music, the Bible tells us where music comes from.
Yes.
So you can name an area. The Bible's going to discuss it. And if it's inerrant, then the little bits and pieces of data that you have there are going to build for you a biblical foundation.
I do want to address one thing, Ray. You've mentioned the word young earth creation scientists a couple times. But we have a regular guest on our program that I think he's back now from Israel, Dr. Stephen Collins. And, of course, we had Dr. Collins on because we had a big shindig announcing the formal discovery of the ancient city of Sodom.
Right.
And that is just an amazing find. And again, one of the scientific supports for what the Bible records as history.
Right.
Again, you can get away from that mythology. There's accurate history described in the Bible and Dr. Collins. But Dr. Collins has told us, and he said it right here on the air.
Yeah,
he said,
I heard him.
You know, I'm a young earth scientist and the next 5 years, I'm an old earth guy. And so he's just constantly learning and having fun, having the discussion.
Right.
So I don't want people to get all tied up in knots about this. I mean, there's things that in this world we are not ever going to know.
Yeah.
Until we go home.
To be with the Lord.
And we're going to know it all at that point. Right. We're going to be fully known. And I'm sure he's going to say, yeah, you guys are pretty much wrong about this and that, but welcome to heaven, and we're happy to have you here. So that'll be an exciting time. But in the meantime, let's have an interesting discussion. Let's keep our brains working. Let's have fun discussing this.
In fact, Steve and I go back many years. I taught for him for several years.
At Trinity,
yeah. And we've had some discussions. Great guy. Love him to death. We're still great friends. And obviously, in fact, I was a little surprised to hear that he's become old Earth, but
yeah,
I'll talk to him and see if I can convince him.
Well, I'm not smart enough to be in that conversation, but I'd love to be a fly on the wall. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can do it here.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can do it right here in the studio. That'd
exactly.
be a lot of fun. And I know you have some other people that are involved in Creation Science Fellowship. In fact, you've mentioned that you have a biologist that might join
microbiologist.
Us. Microbiologist.
Possibly next time that we meet.
Yeah.
If it works out in her schedule, see if we can. She's got a lot of cutting edge evidence involving not only paleontology, but dinosaurs that I'd like for her to share. And there's a lot of research going on in that area, cutting edge, that basically supports a relatively young Earth and supports the Genesis flood.
Yeah, yeah. Ray, let's get going on some of the scientific evidence you wanted to point out today.
Well, let me review again. Historical geology, their viewpoint is that there's no evidence. Keep in mind that their viewpoint is based on evolutionary thinking. So the sequence of the layering fits an evolutionary interpretation. In fact, evolution drives that interpretation. They also believe in a fundamental concept. Long word, but I can simplify it. It's called uniformitarianism. Long word. Mm-hmm. But basically what that means, if you study the processes that are going on today, processes in the present, and you simply project the time frame, in other words, the time that it takes to lay a certain layer today, for example, mm-hmm. speaking of geology, you project that back, you can come up with long time frames, mm-hmm. even in the millions of years. So that's fundamental, but that is a concept that has never been verified by science. It's never been validated. It's an assumption. It's a starting point. Our assumption is that it's invalid. And if it's invalid, then perhaps something took place, or perhaps even science and the creation was different in different time frames. And the Bible seems to indicate that, particularly before the Genesis flood, it seems like there was an entirely different world. That's the way Peter describes it, mm-hmm. the world that existed then, implying that the world we live in today is different. And there's indications in the biblical text of that. And if that's the case, then that whole idea is not only an unbiblical idea, the uniformitarianism idea. So we want to counter that. We want to look at the same data, and let's start by looking at a fundamental characteristic of these layers. All of these layers, from the Cambrian all the way to the surface, have fossils in them. Mm. Now, if you think about it, in fact, let me ask your audience to think this through. Ask yourself the question, do fossils form today? Now, if you think about it, mm-hmm. think through what happens to a creature that dies today. Does it fossilize? Well, the immediate answer is if it's large enough, it'll be eaten up by predators. Mm-hmm. If it's very tiny, it'll decompose by other predators at the microscopic level. But fossils are extremely rarely formed under conditions today. Hmm. The way that fossils are formed, it requires catastrophic events. So just the existence of fossils tells us that within each of the layers, you have to have some catastrophic explanation for the formation of those
Right.
Those fossils. Otherwise, what happens to creatures is they either decompose and
become, they turn to dust.
Turn to dust. Mm-hmm. And or predators, birds, you know, buzzards or whatever will swoop down and eat the body parts. And even the bones will decompose and turn to dust as well.
Right.
unless there is catastrophic conditions that preserves that creature, encases it, prevents it from decomposing. So just the existence of fossils throughout the geological record worldwide argues for a universal flood.
Wow, cool point. I like it.
To add to that, some of the reading and some of the study that I've done of secular paleontologists, and I haven't done a lot, but I've tried to research to see, to kind of, you know, I want to see what...
You want to know their perspective.
Yeah, I want to know their perspective. Everything that I've looked at, they don't explain how fossils are formed, or they just casually, you know, just talk about the formation of fossils. But that is extremely important to understand how are fossils formed. The only known mechanism today is catastrophic conditions. Now, you can see, for example, Mount St. Helens, that was a catastrophic event. Mm-hmm. And there are some evidence of fossilization after Mount St. Helens.
Okay. So, like, lava flowed down and over...
Right.
You know,
encased, went over, encased a creature.
Encased some squirrels or something that were climbing in the trees.
Or mud.
Right.
Mud deposits that rapidly sealed them off from the decaying processes.
Gotcha.
But that's what's required for the formation of fossils. Fossils are extremely abundant. So you had to have an abundance of catastrophic events to explain them. So that's point number one.
You know, I'm hearing you, Ray, tell me I can argue now against my kids calling me a fossil. I'm going to tell them that fossilization doesn't happen that
That's
much
right.
today
That's
without
right.
a catastrophic event. Now, of course, they might throw
but
me.
But you're under decay. They're going to counterbalance you there.
Ray Mondragon, Creation Science Fellowship in studio. We'll be right back with our last segment. Stay with us.
Times are tough and getting tougher. New Mexico's worked hard to stand strong, but Democrat leaders are failing us. The left is playing with our lives, using coronavirus to cram socialism down our throats. We've had enough, and Jared Vanderdusen's ready to fight back. A native son of New Mexico, Jared Vanderdusen will do whatever it takes to get our state back on the path to health and prosperity. Step one. Vanderdusen will take on the socialist threat in Congress, stopping their dangerous schemes in their tracks. Step two, Vanderdusen will punish the Chinese government for their lies about coronavirus, introducing legislation to hold them accountable on day one. Step three, Vanderdusen will stand up to the liberal media and hold them responsible for sabotaging President Trump at every turn. For our health, our safety, our future. Jared Vanderdusen for Congress.
I'm Jared Vanderdusen, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Jared for New Mexico.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi friends, John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept, and there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT.
Ever walk into a movie late? You may never catch up on the plot. Well, same's true of the Bible. Miss the opening book, and you'll have questions all the way through.
Genesis is the foundation. It's the ground floor. If we don't understand the book of Genesis, we won't understand what follows the book of Genesis.
That's Skip Heitzig reminding that our redemption through Jesus' death and resurrection starts in the book of Genesis.
God says to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. It's a promise of the Redeemer. It's the seed plot of the rest of the Bible.
Rediscover the foundation of your faith. In Skip Heitzig's book, You Can Understand the Book of Genesis. Our gift to you when you give $35 or more today to help keep this ministry on the air. Request your copy when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer. Or you can call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budge, Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local, follow local media. And finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
Listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. We're with Ray Mondragon, Creation Science Fellowship, talking about historical geology and how they argue against the scientific evidence for a Genesis flood. I like to call it Noah's flood, but a worldwide flood is important. And in past shows, Ray, we've talked about, well, you're talking about paleontology and fossils. I have found, I've been with people, I actually haven't picked it up myself, but I've been with people on Sandia Crest that have found fossils on the top of that mountain.
That's because you have geological layers that were laid down by water, probably?
Yes.
That encase those fossils. So, yes. Yeah. It's not surprising.
So, you made a great point. In every layer above the base rock, basically, you are finding fossilization of various organisms throughout that. And that speaks of there being some kind of catastrophic event.
Right.
And for those to be laid on top of each other, it's very likely, and now we're into a mathematical probability that, or a statistical probability, however you want to refer to it, that all those layers may have been laid down by a worldwide flood.
Correct. In fact, we're going to give evidence of that when we talk about the layers specifically, the sedimentation idea.
Nice.
But that reminded me, I did this just for a little interest here. I did a whole creation seminar for homeschoolers several years ago. Mm-hmm. And it ranged from, I think there were like 8-year-olds all the way to high school. You know, homeschoolers kind of all study together.
Sure.
And I'm talking about paleontology and I'm explaining it and correlating it with fossils. And an 8-year-old made a great observation. She says, well, why do they call it paleontology? Why don't they just call it fossilology?
I love that.
Yeah. So I said, that's a great idea.
Yes.
So throughout the rest of the seminar, particularly when we were talking about fossils, we called it fossilology rather than paleontology.
You know, young people have so many smart things. My third child, my son Zach, he told me one time when we smelled a skunk, he said, Dad, they shouldn't call those skunks. They should call them stunks.
Yep.
And that's exactly right. Absolutely more descriptive.
Right.
So
let's look at some more evidence.
Yes.
Last segment, we were talking about just the existence themselves of fossil record. And let me give you a quotation from a secular, non-believer, evolutionary scientist that's an expert in paleontology. His name is Miller, W.M. Miller. He says, comparatively few remains of organisms now inhabiting the Earth are being deposited under conditions favorable for the preservation of fossils. Then he goes on, it is nevertheless remarkable that so vast a number of fossils are embedded in the rocks. In other words, because it's so rare, is what the point he's making, it's remarkable that we find so many.
Yes.
I mean, that's just an honest observation of the data. And what we're doing is we're trying to give it a better explanation as to why it's not so remarkable.
Well, and run it back up, and I know most of our listeners are getting this, but I want them to be able to think through this because we have people of all ages listening to the program.
Right.
If all of this was done over time without a catastrophic event and the fossils were laid down that you now discover in each one of these sedimentary layers, you're assuming then that the world was different then than it is today.
Yes.
Because today, basically, because there's not a catastrophic event, animals die, they disintegrate. Even if they're buried, mm-hmm. even if they're buried in the mm-hmm. earth, they just, you know, basically disintegrate and they turn into particles.
Right.
The bones are not, you know, filling in with stone. And that might even be true with, I know I went out to the, found some petrified wood in California.
Mm-hmm.
And the petrifying of that wood had to be caused by a catastrophic event.
Yes, yes. That's a form of a fossil.
Yes.
That's a biological or a botanot. What's the word? Product of botany.
Yeah. But it's interesting what you're saying because that is not happening based on science today.
On a large scale. Now, yes. It can occur if you have those special conditions.
And you mentioned Mount St. Helens.
Right. And there's other possibilities, but mm-hmm. it takes catastrophic events. Another secularist by the name of William Lamberts, he's also an evolutionist, paleontologist, he says almost all of the fossils by their very manner of perfect preservation clearly show sudden burial. Mm. Every word there is important. Burial, in other words, encasement such that it does not decay. Now, if it's just on the surface, it's going to decay.
Yes.
But if it's encased and then pressurized, preserved, and just by the perfectness of the fossil speaks to sudden burials, what he's saying.
Now, this person making this observation, can they maintain their secular view that there was not a worldwide flood when they've made those bold statements?
Well, they do. I mean, they do because they don't have an alternative and they don't have the...
So because God can't be believed, they will not acknowledge him in any way that he's a possibility.
And I'm not sure that they're consciously thinking, you know, in terms of God or
right.
not God. I think they're just from their training and their background. And when they grew up, they saw that image that you described at the very beginning. And that has stuck. Evolution has stuck. You can't see past it. Mm-hmm. And you never hear anything different. So you don't think in terms of an alternative. So somehow any of these issues or these problems, you have to figure out, well, if I'm a biologist, maybe the paleontologist has the answer.
Yeah, you bet.
And vice versa.
Ray, we've got about 4 minutes left. So as usual, we got to speed it up because we don't get through half the information we were planning on getting through.
Well, I gave you the secularist view and even the secularist view that acknowledges that something special is going on with fossils. There's a second line of argument, not only just the very existence and the prevalence of them throughout all of the layers. And by the way, the secularists, they identify the layers depending on the fossils that are contained within that layer. That's how they identify layers in different parts of the world. But a second line of argument is in many parts all over the world, there are what we might describe as fossil graveyards, not just the existence of a fossil here and a fossil there, but what clearly appears to be the gathering together of large number, sometimes in the billions, of all kinds of creatures that show evidence of being swept away, gathered together in one location, and now catastrophically buried, where you have these fossil graveyards. And they're not isolated. In fact, I've got a list of some of the most important ones. There's several that are very famous in Siberia, different parts of Siberia. Alaska has fossil graveyards. Germany, so all over the world, there's a well-known fossil graveyard. Argentina, the best known are here in the United States in Wyoming. Dinosaur National Monument. Basically, you have dinosaurs gathered together, and they weren't gathered together on their own. They give evidence of being swept away by large quantities of water and now all buried together in the same location.
Yeah,
that's a fossil graveyard. And there's examples elsewhere. There's some in Utah. There's some in Colorado. Lesser extent, even here in New Mexico, we find there's lots of dinosaur remains that have been uncovered here. Smaller graveyards, but still the idea of several of them grouped together in one location.
Well, and Ray, I've got a picture in my mind right now, and my heart goes out to these people, but there's a lot of flooding right now going on, you know, in the southern United States.
Right.
And just catastrophic things happening. But the gathering together of objects and organisms, living organisms, when these rushing waters come by, it sweeps everything into one big pool.
And that's what you observe.
Yes.
That's the data. And I have not found an explanation from the secularists that explains these graveyards, what we might call. Another line of evidence that we could use, this would be number three, there are what are called polystrate fossils. You can probably figure out what that means. Poly, many. Straight, strata. In other words, a fossil that goes through multiple layers. And many of these are trees that'll go through two or three different layers. Now, visually, I've got a lot of photographs of some of these that you can observe. So you have to come up with...
Do you have some of those on your website?
Yeah, on some of the talks.
Awesome.
Yeah. In fact, we'll reference them.
Okay. We don't have much time, Ray. Give us those references, and then we'll have to come back next time and get more detail from you.
Well, the first one would be forhisglorynm.com. And you want to go to the Creation Science tab. I've got lots of stuff there. I've got entire seminary courses on my website. But the Creation Science tab, there's several talks that I've done on the Genesis flood. And some of them are 2 or 3 hours in extent. But I talk about polystrate fossils and show photographs. In fact, photographs of everything that we've been talking about throughout these several months that we've been meeting. So.
Yeah. Well, if you're listening today and you may be homeschooling or you may just be interested, you may be a high school or a middle school or even elementary school teacher, Ray Mondragon's offering some free resources to you, and he just loves all of this stuff and thinking through it. Plus, he can put you in contact with multiple people that are involved with Creation Science Fellowship if you contact him through his website. Thank you so much for joining us today, Ray, on ABQ Connect. Always
been,
a pleasure to
have
you.
It's been fun.
And we'll get you on next week. Really nice to see you in studio as well. We hope everybody is safe, and as we get back to work and a little bit more normalcy, we hope everybody maintains social distancing and be wise and wash your hands and do all the things you need to do. But it's going to be good to see everybody face-to-face. Thanks for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.